Welcome to Can You Say Mama, a podcast by two first-time mamas offering unfiltered opinions on motherhood, relationships, lifestyle, and all the things in between.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Good. It's an exciting day today.
It is a very exciting day today. We have...
Tell us who we have.
We have the wonderful Karen Hoekstra.
Hoekstra, that's me.
That's you. Who is a great friend of mine. I love her so much. And she is the owner of Cape Your Naturals and has agreed to sit down with us today. So thank you for being here.
Welcome.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm so excited. I feel like I have so many questions.
Okay.
Let's go. Go ahead.
I love your stuff so much. And I am so just like interested how you got started, kind of what, like tell the people.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. I was a personal trainer for years. That's been my passion is exercise and fitness. And I opened a gym in Abbotsford for women and it was awesome. And that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And then I made a few products to promote the gym. I'll give you the little Coles Notes version of the story. I created a few products, a body scrub and a lip balm that we still have actually, put the gym's branding on it and put it in a box and handed them out to local businesses. I do believe.
I was one of them.
You got one of those boxes.
I did.
And the box had like gym t-shirts. We had these shirts that said, I run like a girl, try to keep up. And gym shirts and gym passes for the local businesses. And then these natural products. And that's all they were meant to be. And then they snowballed into what is now Cape Your.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
It's awesome. The lip balm, love it. If you haven't tried it, the best.
Mm-hmm.
The best.
Thanks for not calling it chapstick.
No, never.
You're gonna like, be, okay, I'm like, bye. That's a brand name. It's a smooch by Cape Your. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. So you're doing all of this. Are you still working at the gym while you're...
So I promised the girls at the gym that I would never leave, and I really meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started Cape Your I launched the website in February of 2016, and in April 2016, it was April Fool's Day, and I told a bunch of the regulars that I was selling the gym to focus on Cape Your, and like some people even started crying, and I was like, haha, just kidding, April Fool's, I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just got to the point where it wasn't sustainable and I had to pick one.
Right.
And that was October that year, 2016. And I remember the morning driving to the gym at 4:30 in the morning and I'd been up till 3 in the morning doing Cape Your because my kids were super small at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I had to build Cape Your, was in the middle of the night. And one morning I'm like, I have to make this decision. So then I sold the gym.
Yeah. How nerve-wracking was that?
I remember later, because I'm very spontaneous, like most people would have maybe thought about it for like a few minutes, but I knew. And that afternoon I posted it and said, I'm closing the gym, like literally. And then I was like, because I just knew.
Yeah.
And I'm decisive, I guess. We'll go with that.
I mean, it worked.
Though. It did work. Thank goodness it did.
That's good, though. You're trusting your gut instead of like wavering back and forth. You're just like, no.
I just knew.
And it's like those quick fire questions where they're like, the honest answer because you're not thinking. Like partway through, they'll ask you the one question you need to make a decision about. That's basically what you did to yourself. Yeah. So that's great.
And that's how I am. I've been in meetings that have been set aside for an hour and I'm done in 10 minutes because I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Typical fickle Libra. I am.
Are you?
Oh yeah.
I feel like I
there's
can
some
be,
things I can
yeah.
go
like decisive, I can be very but... decisive, but then sometimes I'm like,
yeah.
But
like, don't make me choose a nail color at the salon. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'll be there for 20 minutes picking a color.
That's funny.
But I guess like real life things sometimes I'm more decisive. It just
see, I'm the other way. Emotional stuff. Oh my goodness, forget about it.
Yeah.
If it's anything emotional, no, I'm gonna make the wrong decision. Then I can't. But if it's like,
that's
I don't know,
interesting.
Business or picking what bathtub to choose, I don't know, that kind of stuff. Then I'm like, yeah, I like that one.
Wow.
I never thought of that actually until we just started talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm really not that way when it comes to emotions.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're different for sure. Mm. Yeah.
That's impressive though, too, because that was before like TikTok and really like the heat of social media really driving. Totally. Business. So
that was also the golden years of social media.
Yeah.
Like totally. Honestly, oh my goodness.
Like where you could just post one photo and be done with it.
Yeah.
Like,
post one photo and everyone who follows you sees it and they all engage in it. Yeah. And like
when the algorithm was right before you had to post videos and
totally.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, but you've done a great job growing your social media.
Thank you.
That's very impressive.
Thanks.
So I know that one of the reasons you started making deodorant was because was it Curtis?
Curtis, yeah.
So, by the way, Karen has 4 children.
Yes.
She's
doing the Lord's work.
She has 3 boys and her youngest is a girl.
I'm not Mennonite, by the way.
They're great, great kids. And yeah, she manages it all. So it's really incredible. So Curtis is your 2nd to youngest.
Yes. So and he's boy number 3.
Boy number 3. And it was with him that you realized that the, toxins, chemicals, mm-hmm. whatever, in your deodorant you were using were passing on to him, right?
Correct. So he was 6 weeks old. He was super colicky, gassy. This is my 3rd go around in 3 years. So I wasn't like, I knew something was up. Mm-hmm. Took him into a naturopath. I'm like, something, he isn't liking something that, and he was breastfed.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they did a bunch of tests. I don't even know. And it came, a bunch of stuff I was eating, like red peppers and cashews, blah, 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 was making him super gassy. Like next day, he was better when I cut out that stuff, whatever Amazing. The list I got. I remember crying, being like, oh, there's nothing I can eat anymore. But it worked. But the other thing that came up was that there was aluminum and parabens, which is plastics, in my system that were like, he had very high levels. I'm like, he's 6 weeks old. It's impossible. Yeah. And he's breastfed. And I'll never forget, the doctor's like, well, the stuff that you're putting on your body is going into your body.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Which we don't think about.
You don't think about it. And he's like, your deodorant, so you're that antiperspirant, which was like lady speed stick extra whatever, like extra clinical strength, they call it.
Yeah.
Was going from my armpit into my breast milk.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
So that day I looked up deodorant recipes online. And so we're talking, this is way before K-Pure. This is, Curtis was born in 2010. So the original recipe was coconut oil, arrowroot powder, and baking soda. Mm. And I kept it in a glass bowl under my bathroom sink. And that's what I used for years. And like, you want to talk about baking soda? I had huge red bumps all over my armpits. Yeah. And like, it was horrible. But I'm like, I'm not putting that other shit in my body anymore. Yeah. Like, I'm not. So then when I started, K-Pure kind of started taking off, I'd always wanted to do a body butter, so I kind of started with body butter, and then
butter is so good.
Thank you.
I love it.
The women at the gym they knew I'd been making my own deodorant and knew the story of that. So they were the perfect test subjects for deodorant because some of them are hormonal because they're either pregnant or just had babies or breastfeeding, and they're sweaty because we're at the gym.
Yeah.
And so I just would make little like tiny batches in my KitchenAid mixer, bring them to the gym and hand them out, and then they'd come back with feedback, and and that's how Get Closer was developed. It's still our number one selling product.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you that, what your number one was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about how people are weird about touching their armpits and like how that's a thing. And I know you've been speaking about that a lot on social media recently.
I haven't talked about this too much on social media but the reason it annoys me so much is because Jillian Harris a few years ago, like K-Pure is only like 2 years old, I got an email from her team saying, hey, we've been using your deodorant. Just want to let you know, she's coming out with a blog post tomorrow and you've been named the number 2 deodorant. Amazing. And the only reason you're not number 1 is because she doesn't like applying it with her fingers.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, goodness. So mad. That, and other people too would be like, oh, if only it was in a stick and only, but I just finally, actually a girlfriend of mine said to me one day, she's like, you don't have to do it. Like, I'm like, it's just not as good. Every time we put it in a stick, it's just not as good.
Right.
It's like leaving residue on your clothes and you got to warm it up because there's beeswax in it and it's making people's shirts turn yellow. So I just said, forget it. Instead of that, we're going to educate people that it's actually okay to touch your own clean armpit.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
it's your own armpit, like, folks.
Like, you wipe your butt.
Well, I don't know if
you obviously use like Twitter, but you know what I mean? Like,
oh no,
like,
touch your body. I did a reel the other day because I Googled, because it was bothering me. I was sitting there and I was like, this is really a thing. Like, and so I Googled, how do you apply hemorrhoid cream? And sure as heck, it tells you, I screenshot it and added it to my reel, to apply it to your fingers and then touch your anus with your fingers. So, y'all, excuse me, if you're applying hemorrhoid cream, you can touch your own armpit.
Yeah.
So it's just been about educating.
And I don't think I've ever seen a hemorrhoid cream that comes in a roller or anything.
No, exactly.
But maybe that's...
how gross would that be? Because then you're reusing the roller.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So
that's
kind of, bacteria. If you think about it, yeah. The deodorant thing's kind of gross too, because yeah. Now you're using fresh fingers on a fresh armpit. That, so anyways.
Yeah, that's right.
And
true.
It's another opportunity to check for lumps.
I was going
to
say, like, that. People should really, like, be comfortable touching, like, because you're supposed to check that area right. Anyway. So yeah. Might as well, daily. Now.
People are so weird with their own bodies.
But I think part understand. Of it too is that people think of deodorant as like that, like the clinical strength stuff, that if you do touch that, it's super gross and sticky and right. Now you gotta wash your hands. Whereas natural deodorant and ours is, it's like a whipped body butter. So if it's left on your fingers, you can rub it into your hands, be it sweaty palms or put it under your boobs or, yeah, or just under your balls your or whatever you want. Or just rinse your hands. Yeah. You don't have to, because it's, you're only using a pea-sized
yeah.
Amount.
Yeah.
But anyways, touch your own armpits.
No, and it works really well. I've used it for a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, so you have two versions of that, right? Because mm-hmm. One of them is a baking soda free.
Correct.
For the
people so it has who magnesium have... instead of baking soda.
Oh, magnesium. Yep. Interesting.
So it'll, it's same. Same
and you'll
same.
Sleep better too.
Correct. Because it's going to go into your body.
That's right.
I should try that one for Sheldon. I think I got him the regular one because he wanted to switch and was like, you need to try.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. He liked it. Yeah. He did not complain about having to touch his armpits. No. So.
Well, what I find with men with it, because it is a cream, instead of just taking a pea-sized amount, they yeah. Take like a plum-sized amount and then can't figure out why their shirts are gray, but yeah. That's been an education.
And why they had to buy more deodorant every 5 days.
I had to. Long yeah. As jar only last a week.
Yeah. I guess it's getting expensive, this deodorant.
Honestly.
Situation. Yeah, because some people have a reaction to the baking soda, right? So that's
yeah,
made
so some
the
people have
one.
An aversion to it. Yeah. But also people don't understand that when you stop using antiperspirant, all that junk that we talked about wants to come out of your body.
Yes.
Like people have literally told me that 2 weeks later, they can still smell the fragrance of their antiperspirant coming out. Mm. And so sometimes it is big red bumps because, and that's not an aversion to the baking soda. That is the crap from your antiperspirant coming out of your body, like your lymph nodes.
Right.
We have a lot of emails from people who are starting cancer treatment. And that's one of the things the doctor says, like breast cancer treatment tells them to switch to a natural, yes. Natural deodorant mm-hmm. Because all that shit goes into your lymph nodes.
Yeah.
It's wild, but they like allow... on shelves and just like market, like obviously a ton of people are just going to Costco and getting the first like deodorant they can find because that's
but,
what they
it's
do
it's just like food, right? It's yeah, like anything
totally. Just trust you yeah. Trust yeah. That it's going to be okay, like yeah. Johnson & Johnson has been sued and the plaintiff won
multiple times no
yeah for like. For baby powder baby yeah. Powder causing cancer that's it does like it's not a like they've proven it in court, they've proven it and it's still on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. I oh yeah, it's crazy. But I've noticed that a lot of the I've seen ads and things for the well known deodorant brands are starting to come out with
right.
Their own version of clean. Now I don't clean doesn't always mean clean.
Well no, it's just you're greenwashing.
Yeah, exactly. So I haven't looked into it because I have natural deodorant already. So but I do wonder, like obviously there's a movement for it that everybody is making that. Taking the next step, but I don't know how like true it is.
It's like anything, any big now they'll say, oh, it's aluminum free. Well, okay, cool. Well, that must be a good one then. So I'll buy it without looking at the list of absolute toxins that are still mm-hmm. Yeah. On the ingredient list. But it is just like food.
Yeah.
Just like you said.
Yeah.
Like they market Fruit Loops as being healthy.
Yeah. Have you ever seen people take the Fruit Loops from the States and Fruit Loops from here?
No.
And compare them?
We did that.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah.
And the colors are so different. Like, yeah. They're so vibrant in the States. And here, they're a little bit more muted.
They're all muted. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we can't, in Canada, they can't use the same things, the same garbage. The same they can use lots of garbage, but not yeah. As much as you can get away with in the States. So the Fruit Loops are literally different.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a little less sweet or something.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Sheldon loves Fruit Loops, so I got the two boxes for him to try, and I was like, this is wild.
Which one did he prefer?
I think the U.S. one,
yeah.
Just because, like, they taste like Fruit Loops when you were a kid, right? Yeah,
yeah. But, which is probably why they haven't just switched to the one,
totally.
You know, type. But I guess they're probably ones made in the States anyway, when made, so
yeah.
Whatever. But
who knows?
Actually, a lot of businesses do that, like big corporations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Cadbury. Chocolate tastes way better from England. My sister, whenever she comes to visit, she'll bring me some.
Yeah.
You can buy it here in certain places, but because it's way better than the Cadbury that's produced here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how the same company produces one product. Europe
standards, but it's are generally different a little higher.
Depending, yes. Exactly. Yeah. Depending where you are.
So then with your products, do you have to go through any kind of like testing and things like that?
Depends on the product. So I actually just shot a reel before I came here about this. But it depends on the product. So like our SPF has a natural health product because it makes claims and it's an SPF.
Right.
So products like that that are making a claim need to be made in a facility licensed to make those products, which is not us. We are considered a cosmetic. So we need to submit our recipes to Health Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How long does that turn around time?
Generally? Nothing. You do it on the website.
Oh.
Oh.
So really, like, when you're talking about big corporations.
It doesn't go for approval or anything.
Nope, it doesn't.
Oh, you just have to say this is what's in it. Correct. And then that's it.
You need to submit a cosmetic notification form.
Interesting.
So when you're dealing with a brand with integrity, that's, you know you are, but yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's so very interesting.
I feel like like there's dirt and goss, but don't go into this. But do you feel like because you've put all this work into it and like developed these recipes and your own kind of like, you know, your products are great and sustainable and everything. And then you see these other kind of little companies popping up and getting bigger and bigger, and they may not have the same standards. Cause I'm sure
I'll be totally honest. I don't look.
No.
No.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be petty as all hell.
Yeah, no, I don't. I learned really early in the game, like, there's no benefit to seeing what anyone else is doing.
Yeah.
I support other businesses that are doing it. I have friends, like, that are my direct competition, if you look at it that way. Mm-hmm. And we're all friends. But as far as that stuff, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
And I don't want their stuff on my brain. Like, if I'm going to be creative, I want, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And it's just mental health-wise, it's...
Yeah, that would be exhausting.
Not a healthy
sure.
rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah,
it's really not.
You do you and whatever, hopefully karma, I don't know. Yeah. I'll do me.
100%. I feel you on that one.
Yeah. Because you can. I mean, it's not even worth our energy, but you can get stuck in like a big rabbit hole. And I learned that super early on. I don't care what anyone else is doing.
Right.
Unless I'm supporting them because I love them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
So then do you come up with all of the like formulations and everything yourself?
Yeah. So there's a few that are not like the SPF and a serum that we have and the hydrate sheet mask. I formulated them with a formulator.
Right. Like somebody who
a bigger company.
Like,
yeah. Cause those are a little more like,
it's like sciencey. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a little more sciencey than making a body butter. So, but besides that, that's a note. Like I was just, before I came here, that's why I said I rushed down to them. I'm like, oh, that's what it is. So we have a really new, exciting moisturizer coming out and a new toner. And I'm really excited.
Nice. Is it similar to any of the other products you have?
Nope.
Or is it completely different?
Totally different.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's a gel moisturizer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's gel. I'm actually wearing it right now. And my face is like.
You are glowing.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. She really is. I'm not just saying
that.
Yeah,
no, she is.
I'm really excited about it. And you can probably smell it. Maybe you can't.
Because I can smell the diffuser that
it's watermelon. So we have a watermelon, like actual legit, like watermelon extract.
Amazing. It's supposed to be
gel
moisturizer.
So it's
going to
be so good for summer. Moisturizer and a toner.
And when do you know when that's coming out? Are you still working on it?
By summer.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Because now, I just realized right before I came here that I've now nailed both recipes. So they're ready.
That's amazing. Awesome.
To start figuring labels and stuff. So yeah, excited about that. So yes.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, there's been periods over the last, cause it's been 8 years now, which is the longest I've ever done anything in my life where I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this today. Like where the creative juices just aren't flowing, but definitely back in that flow right now. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, that's awesome. So what are your like big goals for the company? Where do you see the company
honestly
going?
I don't have any.
No?
And I'm not even kidding. You know, just it'd be like
goes.
Sometimes I'm like, be cool to be like super scaled and sell it for like tons of money. And then, but I'm like, then what? Like, I don't know. I just want to keep creating cool products and see what happens. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Cause then, I mean, you're doing what you love doing, right? And you're not pressuring yourself to like grow or get to like a million, whatever, you know? So.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I learned with, cause the company did get successful as far as like lots of followers and lots of sales in the first few years, you kind of start to redefine what success is.
Mm-hmm.
Cause everybody Like, it's kind of a funny thing because you don't realize how ingrained it is on your brain what success is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is like lots of recognition and selling lots of stuff. And that's success. To that, to me now, that isn't success anymore. Now that's like, that doesn't really fulfill you in any way, to be honest. Like, hey, it's cool. You did it. Check, check, check.
Yeah.
But then it's like,
now what?
You're not like,
yeah.
As far as like spirituality goes and fulfilling that way, like, it's not, you're not like, oh, well, I just made a bunch of money and I'm super happy. Like,
right.
I don't know how far deep you want me to go into this.
But as like, deep as you want.
But it really made, it was a thing like, okay, cool. I, you know, say bought a Louis Vuitton purse. I'm embarrassed to even use it anymore, to be honest. And I bought it because I told myself, I'm like, well, because I like it. Well, shut up. Like, it's got logos all over it. Let's be honest. And hey, that's cool. I have it, but I don't really use it anymore because it's, I just don't want to. Doesn't feel authentic to me.
Right.
And it's like,
it was like a symbol at one point.
Yeah.
Like I got to the point where I could like get this thing.
Yeah.
And I like, but I didn't really want,
but I'd be like, no, it's not, that's not it.
Yeah.
It's that I like it.
Yeah.
Like, I just like it and I want to buy it. So I'm going to buy it. Well,
it's one of those things where you feel like you should, you know, it's just like you're working towards that like one thing or like.
Well, and then one day my daughter and my niece were watching some show. I think obviously it was YouTube and it was some little game show, whatever thing, trivia thing. And these purses came up and my niece was like, Auntie, that's you. And I was like, oh, it's not me. That's not the, like, it's not.
Yeah, it's not who you are.
So anyway, so that kind of, so where do I see the company going? I don't know. I want to do cool stuff. I'd like to make enough money that I can like do cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And give back. Like, I'd love to be like some self-made woman who's a philanthropist. Like, honestly, I think that
you do give back a lot there. You work with BC Women's.
Thanks. Correct. Yeah, not so much anymore. That relationship isn't, but we you know, Axe for Water and a lot of local stuff.
Yeah
thanks. But that's, I think to me that's cool. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I try to do it quieter, like, just because I just want to. I don't, that it's this weird, I don't know, social media is this weird thing.
I completely agree. We've had, you know, people with our business in the past. Okay, we get probably like 2 to 3 donation requests a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding. And we can't say yes to everybody.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hate, there's a lot of no's out there. I'm sorry. Yeah. We've already, you know, you can only donate so much. You are running a business at the end of the day. But there are certain causes and things and people, you know, they're into like, oh, why haven't you posted about this? Like, it's something that's very important to them. And you know, these things are important to us too, but there's so many different things that it's like, well, if I can't speak about this one thing, but not speak about this thing and this thing and this thing. And there's been many times where we have donated privately and things, and we just don't put it out there because that's not the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not why we're doing it.
Exactly.
We're doing it because we feel compelled to, you know, if we at some point have the means to do it, we feel compelled to help where we can. We do, but same thing. You don't feel the need to post it all over social media.
With like a sign. We're not trying to prove anything. Person.
No. And that's, yeah.
It's kind of cringy when you see people doing that. There's one thing if you're doing it in a way to raise more awareness and money, and there's tactful ways of doing that. But then there's also cringy ways of doing that.
Agreed.
And I find that a lot of times it is just cringy and like, oh, I did this good thing, now I want praise for doing my good thing. And so I completely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's a fine line. It's a fine line. And you nailed it. It's like, if you're creating more awareness for it, like when we're doing it with Axe for Water, I want it, like, I love that charity. But if we're doing more local stuff or like the backpack program at, like, say a local school, like, I don't really want to shout that from the rooftops. Like, but it's a fine line because it is a great cause too, but don't look what I did. Look what, like, I don't know. It is a fine line.
Yeah.
Cause people want to know that you're giving back, but at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah. And then why did you give to this thing and not my cause? And that's this, you know, you just can't, a small business is hard enough as it is.
Yeah. You can't win. You can't please everyone.
You can't. You can't. And I've had to explain that to people like privately in messages and things, you know, but it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we actually left social media for a while. I'm done.
You took a few months?
I think it was 8 weeks. Okay, 8 weeks in the fall. And I was like, originally I was like, I'm shutting down the page. And
which is a bold move for a business.
And thankfully I wasn't too decisive that day.
You didn't just like completely
because shut it down. It's this fine line. So I just felt so, I have left social media personally, like Facebook and Instagram. I took down my personal ones months ago. I have no regrets doing that. None. So then I felt conflicted because now I'm away from it because I don't want to consume content. I don't want to be sitting there scrolling for hours at a time and a freaking doom scrolling. So then I felt inauthentic getting my audience to consume my content right. or to have to scroll to find my content.
Yeah. Interesting. Yes.
So it just didn't feel authentic. And so I just said, we're taking a break and you could find us in the newsletter. And the whole point of the newsletter was to have a great, I just kind of saw it like a bento box of like all little things that we could teach you every week, like book of the week and podcast of the week and recipe of the week sometimes. And a little note from me and talk about, we have a blog post on the website and then people could consume it or can consume it. 'Cause we still do it at their own leisure. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're not in social media or you want to take a break, you can still, you're not going to miss out on our sales. You're not going to miss out on whatever, like really what I'm selling cosmetics. It's not like, you yeah. know what I mean? So once a week we send that out. And I, in a dream world, that would be where all the traffic went and came, but that is in fact not reality and people still yeah. love social media.
Yes.
And so it's been finding that balance of creating the community and speaking to the community without selling, which is also like kind of hard to do sometimes because that is what I'm doing.
Your business, yeah, of course.
I'm selling products. Yes. So it's just creating that community and I'll post and then do my best not to look at it for a few hours and then engage with the community and then not look at it again. But man, oh man, it's a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you manage that all yourself?
Yes.
Too?
Yeah.
Gosh. How do you do it?
Because I feel like me being the face of the business is what yeah. works best for the business
yeah.
and to communicate with with the community that has been created on social media.
Totally.
And so respecting that and not overposting, hopefully, and not overselling, hopefully, I don't know. It's hard trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
So how do you maintain, because your business grew quite quickly.
Correct.
How have you maintained that over the years? Like social media, obviously, but like with relationships with smaller businesses that sell your products, or they do you find yourself still slowly growing or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. Yeah. But I mean, COVID of course hit and was weird. I thought that would be the end of our business because all the stores had to get shut down.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what happened was it drove all the customers to the website. So it was actually good that year that way because it was all direct to consumer.
Right. Yeah.
And now I find with the economy, like there aren't as many stores and because I feel like the COVID era really pushed the big box stores a lot mm-hmm. and everyone wants a deal. So again, it's finding that like being empathetic to the customer by not raising our prices too much, even though all of our suppliers have raised their prices. Well, that's,
yeah.
Like it's this, so mm-hmm. it's a lot. And yeah, trying to maintain relationships with everybody. And it's, I do customer service as well. And now anyway, so it's a lot. It's yeah. a lot. But it's still fun. I still enjoy doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to keep you going.
Really. Yeah.
It's like once you don't enjoy what you're doing anymore,
yeah,
time to reevaluate.
No, I do. And it is a great community because it is our target market is a pretty down-to-earth group of women. So,
well, for your products, I think the trick is really people just have to try it once.
Yeah.
So if you can get somebody to try your products, then they're going to love your products and they're going to keep purchasing your products, especially if they know more about behind the scenes of the business than you and who right. you are and like what you stand for, because people want to support people doing good things and likable people. And you are that. So,
yeah. And you can well, tell that nice. You're not like just slinging products, right? Like it's you love what you're doing and you love the products and you care about
and you people. Educate. I yeah. think that's important. You educate people why they're working, how they're working, what they're doing, when you should use them, when you shouldn't use them, and you use them yourself, which correct. I think is very important. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you're doing a great job, pal.
Thanks.
Proud of you.
Thanks. Well, a big thing with us, too, is we're not, like, I hate the word anti-aging. Like,
yeah,
we're all getting older every single day. There is nothing that is going to stop that except dying.
Yeah.
And so, no, we're not anti-aging. Like, let's just be healthy.
You're supporting let's aging.
Have, yes, we're supporting. Yes, exactly. Hey, I like that. Supporting aging. And so, of course, no one wants to be old, but like you can do it in a healthy way.
Totally.
And use products that are good for your body and make your skin glow and stuff without I'm not going to promise you that's going to get rid of your wrinkles, because it's not. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
There's no products that's going to get rid of your wrinkles. Sorry, folks. Yeah. Unless you get injections. So, and anti-aging is a really stupid word.
What about
so anyways,
stretch marks? Do you have ones selling for stretch marks?
Nothing gets rid of those either. I think they can fade and stuff. I don't even know. Yeah. It's just one of those things that it's like, I don't know, when we're in our 90s, are we going to give a crap? Like,
no. I'm in my 30s, I don't really give a crap. No, honestly. Like, who am I showing my stomach to?
And if you do, you do. Like, if you want to, if people, like, if you want to get Botox and all the things, do it. Like, let's not shame each other, but let's not, like, focus on anti-aging. I think that's always been my thing at the gym, and then now, too. Let's just be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Just because be healthy. Then you see all of these, like, 10 to, like, 15-year-olds, and they're like, I need eye cream. And I'm like, you have the best collagen ever.
But so, that's a thing now.
They're starting Botox at like 18 years old. It's like, what?
But it's a thing. My daughter's 9 and she said there's girls that she knows that are like, we need the drunk elephant serum and we need this. We're going to Sephora this weekend. I'm like, get outside.
Excuse me.
We did a reel about it. I hope I didn't offend anyone, but at the same time, I don't care if I did. But like, you're 9. Yeah. Go play outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
I asked my daughter, I'm like, what do you wash your face with? She's like, I don't wash my face. There's some washed up in the shower. Like,
like whatever you get me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and she could really have whatever she wanted. And just, but yeah, they're kids. Like,
I don't even think she knows I have a serum, to be honest. Like, she doesn't care.
One day she'll be very thankful for what you're doing. And be like, I have all the things. So I'll have like a 6-step, you know, routine.
Yeah.
And all that. I was going to also say that Karen's products are amazing. You have some amazing ones for babies.
Thanks.
Can you run us through the list of which ones are suitable for babies? Because I know when Brooklyn was born, we still use it. Well, not the same one. We've gone through it. But you gave me a bunch of stuff for her. And, like, you know, the first soap she ever used was your soap and all that. And we just, like, I just loved knowing that it was completely safe. I didn't even have to think about it because it was coming from you. Like, I didn't have to look it up. I didn't have to question anything. So what are the products that you recommend for little babies?
Yeah, so the first one I did was Sleepy Time. That's a foaming soap. So it's literally just organic soap with a little bit of organic lavender in it. It also comes in washed up, which is unscented.
Yes.
So those are like, you can use those from baby's first wash. And then what was happening was mums loved it so much they were using it on their face. So we actually market it as a face wash too.
Oh.
Because it's freaking awesome. I will say that. And then Overachiever is the balm that you can literally put on anything, but it's good for nipples and baby bums. Mm-hmm. And Sweet Babe is the body oil. It's a lavender body oil.
I love that. I love that. Great. We'll just like rub it. Like she loves, she's just like, she calls it cream, but she's like obsessed with her little nighttime routine with it.
Yeah.
And then. And we used it for cradle cap too, and it worked.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. That is good for, Overachiever is good for cradle cap too. Overachiever, I feel like I need to talk about more like on social media and stuff because it has so many uses. Like you can put that stuff on anything. Eczema, burns, scrapes. Anyways, it's like the polysporin, but healthy.
Yeah.
And then Dreamcatcher, a little pillow spray.
Yeah. Linen spray. The lavender one too. Lavender spray. Yeah. I love that. You know what product of your, oh, I love all your products, but one I really love, I'm just trying to think. Oh, Happy Ending. but it is the best on the sore muscles and things. Like Tyler would give me a shoulder massage using it. And then it like tingles a little bit after. It's so good. So if you have sore muscles, get some Happy Ending. Just
the
wash your hands
also
after.
Are just like amazing.
Yeah, so wash your hands after because there is a cayenne, isn't it?
It's cayenne, pepper, and turmeric in it.
Yeah, so wash and your hands and don't touch your eyes.
Yeah, and don't use it for a happy ending.
Yeah, don't use it. Yeah, all right, that's the first thing you told Tyler. You're like, Tyler, don't use
this.
Like
the men, I have the sense of humor of a 14-year-old boy, so I was like, happy ending. Meaning a happy ending to your workout.
Yeah.
By putting on the muscle cream, muscle balm. But yes, you wouldn't want turmeric or cayenne pepper in your privates.
It's so good. I remember one time you were at our house and you came back down from the bathroom and you're like, did you put out all these K-Pure products because I was coming over? And I was like, no, that's literally like, I use them all. They were just there. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about being a mom of 4. What's that like?
I don't know. And I say that because Like someone asked me the other day, they're like, when the kids were little, I'm like, I don't remember. And then, you know, your phone will bring up like memories and make all these videos. I'm like,
yeah.
Holy smokes, I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't know if you're there yet, but like, you know, when you give birth and you're like, oh my God. And then you kind of forget and you're like, oh, let's have another baby. It's like, that's how like all of motherhood is. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. And then you totally forget about it. Like I'll hear.
I say that about opening businesses actually.
Yeah.
That's like before I had a kid, I was just like, I feel like it's like what people say about having babies is it's like you had the baby. You're like, I can never do that again. And then a little time passes. You're like, let's do it again. And that's what it's like opening. Like we've opened a few businesses and that every time I'm like, I'm not doing this. Nope. Not doing it again. They're like, hey, you know what? We should do this. And then same thing over and over. It's just
that's so you true.
Yeah.
And you forget. And then I'll hear like a baby crying or like a toddler screaming in the store. And I'm like, oh, I forgot.
Because like how old are your kids?
So my daughter is 9 and the boys are 13, 14, 16.
Yeah, the middle two are pretty close, right?
They're 16 months, yeah.
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 That's crazy.
So I was in it, like, in it.
Yeah.
And I was working. I got my personal training certificate when my oldest was 9 months old because I did not want to go back to my desk job and I didn't want to go back to a job. So I got my personal training certificate. So I remember having 3 under 3 working at the rec center.
Oh, my gosh.
And dragging them there. Oh, my God. Thinking about it now, I just like I get sweaty
like PTSD
because you do forget and then you kind of remember and I'm like I had this 3-year-old, a 1-year-old and a baby and like dragging them all like, you know, the car seat over looped over your arm and then you two hold hands and then you hold my hand and we're getting on the elevator. And then one time I was teaching a class at the rec center and the fire alarm went off and I'm like, that was Lucas for sure. And the whole rec center got emptied out, like including like people in the pool, like everyone had to get out of the pool. And we go outside and the lady, Gail, I actually just ran into her the other day and I'm like, she's like, so Lucas pushed the chair up and pulled the fire alarm. And I'm like, that summed up like those first few years. But then you just kind of forget.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because the girls are in dance class at the rec center right now. And the other day I had just popped in from work to watch. And so Tyler, Brooklyn and I were standing near the door right beside the fire alarm. And Tyler and I were talking and he was holding Brooklyn. And I was all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God. Cause like she was pulling down. I don't think she's strong enough, but she was like pulling in the midst. She
is strong enough.
She's very strong. She's determined is what it is.
Yeah.
But she's like, I was just like, oh my God. Tyler, I was like, holy shit. He's like, could you imagine? Like, she's just like this little, you know, not even 2-year-old.
That's pulls also like now
the alarm when we're literally
unlocked.
Standing right here.
A new fear unlocked is a fire alarm going off in a rec center and you're in the pool.
I know, right?
Could you imagine?
Okay, but just imagine like, I don't want to be ageist, like, but like all these really old people doing their water aerobics because this is what was happening.
Yeah.
And they all had to like get out of the pool and dry off and go stand outside, wait for the, I have a picture of the fire truck and everybody standing outside. So, but
oh my God.
That's so funny.
But that sums up.
Was he your like, mischievous one? Is that why you
knew
it was
a little
him?
Bit yeah and it's funny because now he's like the most chill.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it was and then I was like, I am done after 3. But then what happened was my youngest was going into preschool and it happened so fast because I'm like, what do you mean that's it? And then people kept bringing their babies to the gym to my like my classes and be like, can you go? I know I'd be holding these babies while I was teaching boot camp screaming in these babies' ears, but I was like, oh my gosh, I need another baby. So that's how Caitlin came along.
You got your girl.
Needed one more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And boy, girls are different than boys.
Yeah. More difficult. Easier.
Just different. Like the boys are with their mom. I don't know if it's because I'm their mom, but the boys are just like chill with me. And she is like 9 going on 17.
Oh yeah.
Mom, oh my goodness. Just a little more dramatic. Not for sure.
That'll be these girls for sure.
Mine's already like that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm like, do you have ears? Yeah. Did you come with ears? Do I need to buy them separately now? Like, is that what's happening? It's
that's
crazy.
Boys, though. I think it's men in general. They have selective hearing.
Yeah. Do they all get along at least?
Yeah, they do,
yeah,
actually.
Good.
I think it was my mom yesterday. It was like, the boys fight like around. I'm like, no. They argue, but they don't like beat each other up. And I'm like, actually, it's kind of weird. I remember hiding in the bathroom from my brother because he was like chasing me as a kid so he wouldn't beat me up. My boys don't beat each other up.
Hmm. Depends who you talk to. I was just talking to Sheldon. Yeah. Sheldon, like, David, him and his brother would literally have fighting matches. No, I know. Yeah.
Fist fights. No. Like,
maybe we're just not there yet. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe you just won't get there. Maybe. Just something with the ages and like maybe the personality.
Maybe they hide it from me.
Yeah. Or like the ranking of their person, like of their ages with their personalities. Maybe it just doesn't, like the conflict isn't there. Right. Yeah.
Or they're scared of me and the repercussions. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
You raised them right, then.
Yeah, you're saying they know what's up. If you could give one piece of parenting advice at this stage, what would, or like, I mean, of the whole parenting experience, but you've come this far, what would it be?
Do what works for you.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah. Because everybody is going to give you advice at every single frickin' stage.
Yeah.
Like, I remember bringing Jacob, my oldest, home from the hospital and being like, he's going to sleep in the crib the first night. No. Like, but do what works for you. If that's what you would like, do what works for you and your family. There's so many rules that I broke. And it's like now 16, 15, 13 years later, it's like, who cares?
And guess guaranteed all those rules that you broke at the time have changed. Anyway.
Exactly. Totally. That too. Right now. Like,
yeah, we learned recently that they don't even swaddle babies anymore. Like, what? You're not supposed to swaddle your
like
baby.
Like, we swaddled because that's what they told
and
us
And they're
to
not
do.
Even 2 years old.
And then now they're like, don't swaddle your baby.
Why?
They apparently swaddle them, like, right when they're born. And that's basically it. Like, you're not supposed to swaddle them. Because people are doing it wrong and, like, constricting the babies or, I don't know. I thought it's so weird. It's like I'm definitely going to swaddle my baby.
Just not smart people who had a kid ruined it for the rest of
them. I was going to say, that's like, what?
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Anyways, yeah. Anyways, I'm past that window. That door is closed for me, but I just, whatever works for you. And I don't really care for other people's opinions, but I just, what works for us has worked for us. And I don't really care what anyone else has to say about it. So that has really been helpful.
Yeah.
And not sweating the small stuff, as dumb as that sounds like.
No, it's.
And milestones, unless it's really clear, like big one, but like. The things like, oh man, they just told me at the health unit they were in the 76th percentile, and I think maybe now we should, like, just chill.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's just so much pressure for that kind of stuff, and, like, they should be reading by this time, and they should be, like, just forget about it. I'm not talking about the big stuff, obviously, but, like, for most of the small stuff, like, please just leave me alone.
Yeah. Do you find that your kids kind of, speaking of development, developed, like, at different times, like, did one talk way earlier than, like, the other one did? Or were they,
I have no idea.
Or that, yeah, it's too far gone. It's funny. It's one of those things that my
mom... even in it. I don't
my
know.
My mom told me this, like, from the beginning. She's like, write things down if you want to remember them. Because she's like, you think you're going to remember them and you will not.
You don't.
Yeah. And she's absolutely... I did not write things down just because I was too damn tired.
Yeah.
And, like, I have a few notes.
I have a whole baby book and I'm like...
I have a baby book, too. It's not filled out at all.
It's not filled out.
I have notes in my phone up until a certain point. I'm like, oh, the first word or the first whatever. Yeah. Like, she ate avocado for the first time today. Like, whatever. But then I totally stopped doing that. And I am like, she was so right because I don't remember. Like, you think, like, this is so special, especially with the first one, right? Totally. This is so special. How I'm never going to forget this and stuff. And I'm just like... Yeah, you could ask me a question, like, for when this baby's born, and, like, oh, how does that compare to Brooklyn? I probably couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even, like...
Somebody already asked me that the other day, like, oh, with this, like, is this baby, was Brooklyn like this at that time? I was like, oh, I think it was my mother-in-law asked me something, and I was like, I don't know.
No, I know.
I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah, I was like, going to say, like, think of all Brooklyn, the, like, pregnancy remember. Stuff that were, like,
yeah.
Oh, did this happen with Brooklyn? And you're like, well, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, that was 3 years ago.
Because when you're in it, you don't think you're going to forget.
Yeah.
No.
When you're in it, you're like, because this is just normal. Like, that even goes with starting my business. I wish now in hindsight I would have documented way more stuff. Like, took a picture of the shelf that I had in the kitchen or, like, all that stuff. But in it, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, well, because also, I'm sure you didn't think that it would get to this point, right? No. Like,
so it's cool to have that. But same with the kids, like. I guess it is kind of cool to have that feature on the iPhone where these, like, little memories. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I have so many pictures and videos, right?
Yeah.
But God forbid anything ever happened to my iCloud because...
I know.
I know. I think about that all the time. I'm like, should really do something about this and, like, print pictures and things.
Yeah, I need to print
my mom is the only person I know who still prints pictures. But I just, like, I don't know. You just kind of go, like, I'll do
the
it.
The ones that I want on the wall, like, that's about it. Because who's going to look at them?
Yeah. Well, like you when you're older, the kids when they're older. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. My grandparents passed last year, and it's like so many photo albums in the garbage.
Oh. In you the know garbage?
What, well, maybe not. No, I should. Oops. Maybe delete that. From what I hear. But anyway, I think they're really.
Allegedly.
But like, I have 65,000 pictures on my iCloud. Like, no one's ever going to go. I'm not printing those.
Yeah.
Like, it would fill this room. Like, I'm not. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Who knows what the future holds with that kind of stuff. But
I know. It's crazy. You are probably the only person that I've ever talked to who said that they enjoyed giving birth.
I would give birth every day for the rest of my life if I could, compared to, oh, I love giving birth. But I hate being pregnant.
But okay. You also did it naturally, right?
All four times.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah. I know. Even more we had a conversation about this one time and I was like, before I even had a kid, but I was just like, really? Wow. It kind of gave me some hope. But she's like, it's awesome. Like, it's so, you're just like determined.
But I'm a masochist that way, I'm learning. Because like, I love tattoos. Like, this is like 12 hours.
This is kind of a new thing for you too, right? Over the last few years? Yeah.
Like 12 hours. And like, this one is the newest. And that one hurt. And he's like, do you want? And I'm like, no. And I was like, just keep giving it to me. Like, it's that. Wow. And I like long, like long distance running and like the pain.
Yeah,
it's
you're
like
a
this,
runner.
Like
yeah.
The pain pleasure threshold. So giving birth, I love it. And it's like that baby is finally out of my body because being pregnant, it does not suit my lifestyle. Yeah. And
so you don't like being pregnant, but you
like giving birth. And even Lucas number two, he got stuck. He was 10 pounds, 3 ounces.
Oh my God.
And he actually got stuck. And I remember when I was in labor, my midwife was like, we should be taking video of how wonderful labor can be to show people. Because I was like in the tub and I was picturing Jacob talking every time I have a contraction. I didn't make a sound. And then delivery time came and I was like, okay, here we go. And nurses actually came in to see if the exorcist was there because this 10-pound baby was not coming out.
Oh, my God.
And then finally his head came out and I was like, yes, finally, because now you know that feeling of like, and then it didn't because he was so big that he got stuck and they had to like push from the outside. But I still do. And then Curtis number three was actually born on the side of the road.
Yes, sir.
Because 10-pound Lucas paved the way
in an ambulance, though, right? Not like on the side of the road. Yeah,
but the ambulance on the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy. 10-pounder, 16 months earlier, had made it so that number three could just fall out. I'm not even kidding.
I love you. Yeah.
Remember the ambulance came because I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh, it's time. And it was my due date actually. And I'm like watching a show, folding laundry. And then I woke up my now ex-husband and was like, hey, it's time. But like he went and showered and went, put gas in the car.
Tyler.
And then suddenly I was like, I got in the car. I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, no, we're not making, because we were supposed to go from Mission to Maple Ridge, which is a half hour drive.
Shit, yeah. Oh my God.
I'm like, this is not happening. Like, call 911. And I'm really good in high panic situations. I am like, I freak out about the smallest thing. Like if a spider walked in here right now, I would be like, you'd think I was being murdered.
Yeah.
But in high stress situations, I'm cool as a cucumber, literally. Like, and now by this point, I'm on all fours on the lawn, throwing up, which is an indicator that it's time to start pushing for me, is the puking. I have my legs crossed and I am on the phone with 911 because the other people in my life, which is my now ex-husband,
why is your ex?
Are not good in high stress situations.
Oh my God.
And so I was on the phone with 911 and then they came and were driving down the road and bless those men. They were so lovely, the ambulance attendants. And I'm like, hey, like I got to push. Oh dear. I'll never forget. Oh dear. He pats my arm. You don't need to push. Your water hasn't even broke. And I just went, ugh, because I was pushing. And he's like, holy shit, pull over the ambulance. The other guy's like, what? I'm like, pull over the ambulance. I'm like, and like the baby is like, Curtis like fell out. The guy's like ripping my pants off so that the baby could come out.
Oh my God.
So I had number four at home.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I came at home. Which in hindsight, why didn't I just go inside? That like, why call it like, in hindsight?
And like I'm have like, them come into
why
your house?
I just like push the baby? Like I was, anyway, so number four was at home, which was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's wild.
Yeah. And he like, even, I guess it would have been too late when Lucas got stuck, right? Because like for an epidural or anything. Or you just never, was that never on the table?
No, it didn't even cross my mind.
That's crazy.
But yeah, he.
I don't know what I would have done. without
you don't really have a choice. I got to no idea, but come out. What actually happened, and this is a mom podcast, so I'm assuming I could talk about it.
You can talk about anything.
His head was so big, and his shoulders were so big that he couldn't get past my cervical lip. And so every time I would have a contraction, it would go down and then he would come back up, and my cervical lip started to get really swollen. Mm. And so then it started to get really painful. But then the more it got swollen, the harder it was for him to come down. So the midwife actually had to stick her hand up my vagina and manually push my cervical lip over.
Oh my gosh.
Which that was probably the most intense feeling I've ever had in my life. Which is when a nurse came in to see if somebody was dying. Like,
oh my God.
Because I was like going to rip somebody's head off.
Yeah, no kidding.
So then that made room for his giant head, but then his giant shoulders got stuck. But I mean, by then, there's not like, this is, we're talking seconds.
Yeah.
So how much longer from when his head came out did they get the rest of his body?
So the next contraction, they manually like pushed on my stomach to like push from the outside. And then he came out and his face was purple, but it wasn't from lack of oxygen. It was just from him coming like... pressure, so the blood came, but because he was purple, they whisked him away and they thought his collarbone was broken, which it was not. Wow. So that was a bonus. So then the same thing happened with Curtis. Because he came out so quickly, his face was purple, but he's breathing fine and crying, but the ambulance attendants didn't know that. All they see is this baby with a purple face. Purple, and I'm cool because I had just done this 16 months ago, but they're like, I just remember it got really quiet and they turned the lights on, and my husband at the time, but anyways, he was driving behind us and we're driving normally, and suddenly the lights flip on at the intersection and they take off. So he's panicking.
Oh,
everyone's panicking except for me. I don't realize whether everyone's panicking. Well, my purple baby, I'm just like, oh, he's here, and I'm in an ambulance flying down the highway.
Oh my god. Yeah,
good times.
You are a hell of a woman, I tell you.
That is wild. It is
wild. But then with Caitlin, she so I'm pushing, and then there's two midwives, that's the law, two need to be there, and they go
oh, for home birth?
Yeah, for home birth, there needs to be two. And the one goes, I just got called to another birth, I have to go. Which then ambulance attendants have to come.
Mm.
And anyways, funny story about that.
He's like, you again?
Caitlin and the other baby are actually like besties now. Like, they're
really
good friends.
Yeah,
they're really
good friends. That's awesome.
So she ended up delivering her baby on the floor, which wasn't her plan, unassisted. And so then now the ambulance attendants are there, and I have one midwife, and on there, the ambulance attendants is just standing in the doorway like this, watching with his hand on his, or his head on his hand, watching like it's a freaking 2 o'clock matinee. And, but they'd said to me before they came, they said, if you need to deliver this baby like quickly, because there was meconium, like she had in the water.
That happened.
And that if, to me. And even though her head was out, they will transport you because that is the law. So I actually pushed Caitlin out without contractions.
Whoa.
Because I was so determined to get her out. I'm like, I'm not having this home birth. And then now being transferred to the hospital, not having another ambulance baby. So that was not good for my nether regions.
Oh.
But she came out in time. And so I didn't have to leave.
Well, the midwife stitched you up.
Yep.
Wow.
They will.
They did.
They will indeed.
And that's crazy.
Yes.
My gosh. Good times. I said, you're a hell of a woman.
But I still,
they're better woman than me, I'll tell you that.
There's something about the giving birth. I love it. I would do it again if it meant not having another child and being pregnant.
Yeah.
I would be a good surrogate.
Yeah, how many people would, how many people would be like, I'll do the pregnancy if you can somehow finish it off for me. Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Right.
You just have like designated pushers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
Some of us are just built different, I tell you.
Honestly.
That's amazing. Good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that.
Wow. Well, I don't think we're going to top that.
I was going to say, how do we follow that conversation?
I honestly am just like, how on earth did you then have another child? After the ambulance baby.
Well, because again, a few years go by, and then that was the easiest birth.
Yeah,
because the labor was like less than an hour, and the pushing was like nothing. Like he literally fell out. I was very surprised when Caitlin didn't fall out, but I guess 4 years had passed, so everything went back to where it was supposed to be.
Oh my gosh! But Jacob's birth was just normal.
Baby number one. Well, I remember I did the typical. I have to go use the washroom first. And they're like banging on the door. Get out. I'm like, no, I have to go to the bathroom. They're like, no, you're pushing out a baby.
Yeah.
So that one was, no, that was quick too. They, when I got to the hospital, again, driving half, like I didn't drive. We got there after half an hour. They're like, no, you're not dilated enough. And I'm like, my mom had really fast labor and deliveries and yeah. I'm not driving all the way back. And I remember they were kind of annoyed, but sure enough, an hour and a half later, he was born.
Wow. Why did you go to Maple Ridge? Did they not?
Because at the time, so this is 17 years ago, there wasn't midwives. Abbotsford had only a few and Mission didn't have any.
Oh, interesting.
And so by the time I knew I was pregnant, there wasn't any available for my, like, it wasn't a much of a thing 17 years ago.
Interesting. Right. Okay.
And so there was, then there was none in Mission at the time. So Maple Ridge was closest.
I see.
Yeah. Huh. And they were great. So I had them for the first three and then Mission midwives for number four.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, that I can't believe that. I mean, like, I tried to push Gray out, but I had an epidural. But she, I, her head and my pelvis were not getting along.
Yeah, but
so.
It's, I guess it's just, that's some, I'm just luckier.
Yeah.
Did they ever approach you for, like, should you, having a C-section? Like, during those times? Like,
nope.
We might have to take you in? No?
Nope.
Interesting. I feel like that's a different time, too, then. Like, I feel like... From what I understand, I'm not going to like, you know, because no, I don't know, but a lot of people have said that they've been, what they feel like they've been pushed towards, if there's any little complication, pushed towards a C-section.
But yeah. I generally find that's not with midwives.
Oh, yeah, no, yes, you're right. So you had a midwife
with all of them.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we both had C-sections for different reasons, but.
Yeah.
But that's good too. Like maybe if I had been at home with Lucas, it could have been a different story. So
right
again, it's just do what works for you at that time.
Yeah, you never know. You know? Yeah. So tell me this: should I go for a VBAC if I can or no?
Do it. At least experience it once if you can.
Just have Karen on FaceTime, and she will coach you through.
Yeah,
it.
Like she's
just having you. I'll be your doula. I'll be your doula, but I'm not one of those soft like okay.
Yeah, oh, I know. I've seen you. I've seen you hippie. Teach a class.
I would be the.
I saw
I'd
your
be
boot
like
camp.
A boot camp doula.
I saw your boot camp.
I feel like some people suck need that though.
You're like, no. Okay, now you pussy.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be that mean, but I wouldn't be like soft and like. Like, no, my friend Jane was a doula for a while, and she's so, like, she's also a yoga teacher. She talks like this, and, like, you just feel so, well, that would not be me as a doula.
No.
No. The boot camp instructor would come out.
That's what some people need.
Yeah. That could be a side business for you, if you have any more time on your hands. Just like
it's not a bad idea, actually.
Right?
Yeah. Cape Pure offers doula services.
Yeah. And then send all the babies home with a little bundle of goodies.
Could be, like, a
little,
like,
yeah, you have, like, your baby kit. Yeah.
Reality shows, boot camp doula.
I love it. We're on to something.
Because I feel like even for myself, like, I don't need somebody to be calm and like, okay, now push and it's going to be fine. Like, I don't need that. Like, I need you to tell me it's going to be fine. Yes. And like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah. Just get it done.
Yeah.
Get it done. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If anyone's looking for a new business to start, there's one.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to have a Karen type personality.
Yeah.
Do no harm but take no shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there that's the philosophy at our house.
I like it. And that's your tagline, the doula.
Yeah.
Do no harm, take no shit.
That's awesome.
I love it. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate
it.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
KPureNaturals.com or at Cape Your Naturals.
Sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah.
Sign up for that newsletter.
Karen does sales all the time. So if you're looking for things, I feel like you do.
I don't, but.
No, I feel like you do more than any. Okay. Well, maybe
we
to
do
me.
It like three times a year.
What? That's nice where you do more than that. True story. Okay. Well, I'm lying. But to me, it seems like she's always like, there's always a
I'm
sale
always
going
giving
on.
Stuff away.
Yeah. She's always going to see. She says no, but
you're right. Okay.
She's always giving stuff away. Just like,
the good sales are three times a year.
Okay, the big ones. But the you still ones. Do like smaller things. Yeah. I swear, I see it all the time.
And sometimes there's discount codes just for people who subscribe to the newsletter.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's what I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay.
So
I'm
if
not,
the people
not crazy.
Wanted to try, like, if you had to recommend number one top product for people to like get in there.
The deodorant for sure.
Yeah.
If you're not using a natural deodorant, that would be the number one recommendation.
For you sure. heard it here, people.
You heard it here. Try but you can't go wrong with any of the products.
No.
I was just trying to think about what my favorite one is, and I actually don't know. I feel like I can't choose.
I think the new moisturizer will be yours. Because I feel like you've wanted an oil-free moisturizer, haven't you?
I have dry skin. So
maybe not then. It's good for dry skin too, because I have mature skin.
But you're like, I love drenched a lot. Like the vanilla drenched is so nice. And the other, I forget, I just can't think of the name. What's the blue one?
Oh, Go Getter.
That's nice too. And I love your masks as well. I can't choose. Anyway, just try them all. What's the harm?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I love you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. That was
fun.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.